any of you.
Sometimes it's hard to distinguish when we're meditating and something comes to us between what is a machination of the mind and what is truly a spiritual enlightenment. For instance, when we see ourselves inside, or we will see things that are of a very mundane level that we're preoccupied with every day, and we're going, I will sit in meditation. Sometimes these things, I don't seem to have any control of them. I don't want to control them.
Your aggression is mixed up with so many things.
Yes.
If I just speak of immaculation, then you speak of seeing your own form. What particularly you want?
I want to know how to distinguish. Or are we to distinguish when these forms come to us, or just
Well, the main thing, whatever form comes within, repeat the five names which are charged. You see, any negative, that should go away. Sometimes negative power affects you, the wrong things. Then be the vibration. For that purpose you have been given a safeguard against all these things.
Master, I asked you, I think it was in California, sometimes in meditation you have this terrific vibration which you can't seem to control, and you said not to think of the body.
Yes.
But sometimes it's so very strong that I have to stop meditating. I get so nervous, and I feel as if I was being electrocuted or something. What can I do to stop that?
You see, then you do it in the right way. You see, you do it in the right way and don't think of your body. There's no trouble. If anything like that, you leave it out. That's right.
It's so powerful that I can't help but think of the body. I don't want to. But
not every day like that.
No, but at times.
This is what I
said. And then it rises to my throat and I feel as if I was choking.
That is due to wrong way of doing the practice. Prana is involved.
But I don't do any yoga techniques anymore.
Well, choking of throat cannot come unless prana is involved. Breathing is involved. First it goes slowly. At the door, then it is choked, you see. That is the wrong way of doing it.
But I don't do any except since I was initiated by you.
These are involved. You don't do it purposely.
No.
While doing it, sometimes breathing is involved, unknowingly involved, and that is the choking eyes. If it is done in the right way.
But you know, I'll tell you something strange. I've had that experience mostly when I've meditated when you have been there. Now in Vancouver, in the morning meditation, I sat right next to you, and it was so terrific. I got that power so much that it was terrible. I mean, it was wonderful, but it was almost terrifying. And it happens more when you're around.
It means when I'm around the radiation, you see. While in a hurry, you see that withdrawn, soul is withdrawn, but your thought is not altogether, I mean, free of the body, consciousness. That is where that breathing is involved in choking, isn't it? And sometimes out of emotions too. You see, emotions come to bring on choking, you see. Two reasons, no other reason can do it. You are going to meet a friend whom you love. Maybe father, mother, brother, anybody. And he wishes to come along. And when you go to your friend, you take so many children and other things like that, you see, you are going to meet him, there will be no time for you to speak to him. And he will also not be able to devote his whole time with you. You see? This is only you are thinking, no, you have to go to God. God is all alone. Is it not? You have no father, no mother, no brother. So naturally he wants everybody to come to him all alone. That nobody, he doesn't want anything to take with you. No worldly things, not even your body, not even your intellect. He says, you come alone. Then these things won't arise. And for whatever little time you devote, that will bear forth full fruit. When we are sitting, you see, we are not to think of the outside things, not think of the body, not think of the breathing, not even think of the thinking, you see. We should be physically still and intellectually still too. If you do it in the right way, then no trouble, you see.
But if you're intellectually still, you're repeating the five.
Don't become automatic. When you think meaning thereof, your intellect works. If you don't think of the meaning, few days after you become automatic. The charging helps. You are told not to think of the meanings, although the meanings are given to you. You are not to visualize, you are not to think of the meaning. Automatic it will go on, charging us. Thinking and intellect will come and think, well, this word means this. This plane has such and such light, such and that is meaning. So don't simply look sweetly, be fully absorbed. It is a question of the intellect. I mean, seeing of the soul, attention you might say, attention is the outward expression of the soul. These are the rays of the, that the rays of the sun enlighten the whole world. Even these rays of the attention, attention are the rays of the soul, you see, that enlighten the whole body. If those rays are withdrawn, the body will be dark. When sun sets, all rays are withdrawn, they will darken. Similarly, the body will be darkened. You have no thought of the body, only it is your attention that gives you feeling of the body. So if you do it rightly, there is no trouble. Errors do creep in, you see, automatically, generally. Then that trouble arises.
Master, may I ask a question?
Yes.
After you are drawn into the radiant form of the Master from within, and you want to go higher, does the radiant form of the Master dissolve into the Word or the Man?
Or does
the radiant form of the Master continue to remain in higher regions?
In the lower planes it continues, but absorption comes in at every plane. When you devote whole attention into the form of the Master, you become sometimes absorbed, but that continues for the same. Absorption is better. It does become at night. At light, you are light, you become one, you forget, but you are conscious all the time. That does come at every step. Ultimate job, it becomes one, you see, there's no form. When you absorb into Satnam, then Satnam makes you. Final absorption comes there. Otherwise, that form continues to work in the regional form on the different times.
I'd like to know when you're coming back again.
I? Well, I'll never go. Is your wife sending me? I will go. We could have to go anywhere. You are also not at home all the day long, is it? Now you are not at your home. Physically, you are not at home, you see? But your thought is there, isn't it? Oh, I'll come when God visits, I have no issue.
Master, what plane are you in when you see the golden light?
That is just the beginning. That, in that golden light, the form of the Master appears. That is not the lowest.
That is not the lowest?
Form appears in golden light generally.
Is that the third plane or the fourth plane?
Well, it is just again because Master forms appears only just when you rise above Tirukuti.
Okay.
And before that does manifest to show that it is with you. Sometimes you said that was the form comes. Sometimes generally it is when you cross the big star and moon, then the form appears. But even that appears before manifest to give consolation to you. Initiate the time with you, that power is with you.
Master, it would seem that before one initiates, the very first thing one should do is begin to be honest with himself.
Little louder, please.
If before one is initiated, one
yes.
begins with trying to be honest
yes.
with himself.
Yes.
And although you may feel that so far as the rules are concerned, a diet or something, this would be no problem.
Yes.
But within yourself, you know still that you do have doubts. Would you welcome into initiation one who is quite willing to admit that there is doubt, but wants to try?
Doubt? What sort of doubt? What is theory?
Well, I don't know. Just
No, you must know. You must clarify your doubt. In what way? If you are
for the uninitiated, it's the fear of the unknown or new experience. Or
no, my point is, you see, first try to understand this theory. What you cannot understand, let it be clarified. Isn't it? Then take up. Full conviction will arise when you see things for your own self. When intellectually you are satisfied that these are the teachings of all masters. You see? You take it up as an experimental maya. Then if you get something, then naturally you must be convinced. Man cannot be convinced unless he sees things for his own self, and he testifies himself.
Then if you are not certain that you are prepared and that you have answered your questions,
I tell you. The man who is, in whose heart this question of the mystery of life will enter, that he is with, that God's grace, this question has arisen. That day is the greatest in the man's life. On which day this question of the mystery of life enters one's heart. That cannot be stamped out unless it is solved. So very question that it arises that shows God wants to give you. Your hunger for that. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. So as question remains about the ethical life all around. In the old days, you see, there was the rule, I would say now, the people came to the feet of the Master, they kept them for longer times, and when they saw that they had dwelt fully, then they gave them the initiation. It is said one king of Bukhara, you see, went to Kabir and lived with him for about 6 years. And he was very obedient, everything like that. The Loi, Mata Loi was serving with, was living with Kabir Sahib. He recommended Kabir that here the king has, he has been here with us for 6 long years. He is very quiet, very obedient. Why don't you give me initiation? Then Kabir told him that he is not yet ready. And Loi told him, and what is please, very quiet, very obedient, quite in every way. I mean, how do you say he's not fit? He said, all right, when he now goes out of the house, just you hide yourself in a place where he cannot see you and throw all these issues of the house over his head. And just hear what he says. No. And when she threw like that, and so, had I been in my own country, I would have seen what this means, you see. So then, asked Kabir, what did you find? He said, he like that. That king Shubha had not gone, still he said, home. Had I been there, I would have done this and that thing. So then another 5-6 years passed. Then Kabir said, well, now he is ready. He said, well, I find no difference between the first and the now. Then now do it when he passes out of the house. Just throw all this, what is your washroom, you see, all filth over the head. Then hear what he said. When she did so, he said, oh God, I am worse than that. So it takes man to be made. Man making it difficult. Finding of God is not difficult. But now the times have changed. So much materialistic. Who is going to stay with the master for years? You see? And just abide what he says and live at his house. Excuse me. And then change. No time to spare time and sit at the feet of the master. As you see, even they have got their own some difficulty in their meditation, oh, I have to go to the work. I tell them, can't you take 1 or 2 hours sleep too? So the times have changed now in a way, those who have got the hunger for that, the things in their mind, they take them up from their custody. They take up the work of preparation, making him as well as give them all the things together. And prescribe for making maintenance of diaries for self-introspection from day to day. And they give them the experience then and there, so they, when they come in contact with that higher light or sound principle, that will go from inner to help him. And by outer, weeding out by all imperfections from day to day. He then takes heed that the light which is within you is not dark. So this, the present times have changed. Those who have inclined desire, they are put on the way. They are given some experience with the grace of God to start with. Otherwise the people are not going to believe you go on doing and you will have it after that. Yes? Go on, do it. How long will you continue this? People have been coming to me who were initiated by somewhere. They have been putting in 10, 2, 3, 4 hours daily. With all that they had nothing, they left it. You get something to start with, then you can develop it. So this present time is changed, you see. The work of making up is also started side by side along with the giving the experience the very first time. And when he sees the experience, has the experience himself, then I think he has something to stand on, no question of doubt. Without him, that's only how to live up to that. So those who are just enter the intellectual field, you see, they must understand the why and wherefore of things. Otherwise they won't take up. For there they require some evidence from the past masters. And also whether that appeals to their common sense. If those things, I mean they are intellectually set aside there, then they take up as an experimental result. Even then they are very skeptic. Possibly it may not be. But when they have something to start with, let them go. So maintenance of that means it's necessary to take heed that this light, which is whatever is given at the time of initiation, is not darkened. This is how the matter stands for the present day.
Master, this might seem odd question, but for instance, I just recently moved to Denver, as I told you, in Texas, and we don't have a group there, satsang. Ponce and I would like to start when we meditate in my little apartment, being his mother and I together. And does it do any harm if you go to another group that meditates? I mean, would there be any conflict of vibration or anything if we went and meditated with another group?
What group?
Well, for instance, Self-Realization. They have a group in Denver where they just meditate. And they have asked us to come for meditation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing naturally any of the techniques I gave them up 7 years ago when I was initiated by you. But I was wondering if there'd be any conflict of vibration or anything.
Did I told you not to go?
No, you didn't. I'm asking you. I don't want to.
If you go there, don't follow their way of meditation, but do your own.
The other thing,
when you men of the same way sit together, there will be more radiation. You follow me? There's the radiation from the master too.
From Yogananda, you mean, their master. Would it affect me?
I'm talking something else.
Oh, excuse me.
When you go to somebody, don't change your mode of meditation.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you just sit by those who are just doing the same meditation, there is more radiation.
Oh.
I never stop you by going to any place.
I just don't know whether there'd be a conflict of vibration if there was anything.
Don't you follow now what I say? If you think of Swami Yogananda there, then there will be conflict. Because Yogananda is not there. You see?
I follow the principle then, Master. Where two or more gather together, in my
name. This is? In my name.
That's right, in my name.
You've got to experience it. I don't mean in any way to reflect on Swami Yogananda. I don't mean that, you see. One is a living force, radiation, going on through the world. When you sit in the name, one or two men radiation is there. Those who have left the body, they have to work through the human bowl, working on the human plane. You see? That's the law. I never stopped anybody going anywhere.
Well,
but that I did suggest, where the group in it, you must attend.
Yes.
Because you are benefited by radiation.
Well, I had gone, but I was just wondering about it, so I thought more of it.
No, the matter is clear. But I never stopped you from going there.
No.
Understand the principle, you see. Truly speaking, I tell you what the old Egyptians used to do. They gave initiation, gave the way. They did not give the experience, I tell you. And they just put them on the way by intellectually, then told them for 2 years to remain quiet, not to talk to anybody. go on with meditation for 2 long years. They were called mistis. By putting 2 years regularly on the way, natural Veda, sometimes in flesh. When the inner ways opened, they were called apoptis. Now this door is very open very first day. Door is open very first day, you see the light from experience. So best thing is when you are initiated, don't talk to anyone. Do your daily livelihood work. The rest you need not talk to anyone. Talk to your master. We talk to others. What is the loss there? You talk to others, you want to show your superiority to others, egoism there, you lose. Suppose there's a friendship in the worldly way. You got a friendship with somebody, love with somebody, you won't let anybody, dare to let anybody know about it, is it not? Why this is love, your love with God, why should broadcast it? You want only for guidance, who can guide you. And it is the master who can guide you. You see? Do your... He doesn't say leave the work and don't... Just live in your arm, your livelihood, bring up, nourish your children, just keep up your body, and go on with it. Let the wild flower grow in darkness. We throw seeds anywhere. I am doing, I see where, if I tell you, I am in a very intoxicated state. And the next day, and when I sit there, that's a natural problem. Well, your eyes on you, and you have not become yet perfect. What is it? He takes you as the idea. You stand between him and the master. Where will you go? The other man who follows you, takes you as a wrong ideal, he is first doomed, and your progress is returned. This is very critical point. When you are, this is just worldly way, when you are engaged to somebody, be drawn to somebody, but think of him all alone. You see the God in him. Don't hate for any, don't have any hatred for anybody. Go on with it, you'll find it. Sometimes people go on with it. They begin to tell one another, this is life, this is life. The result is, their progress is lessened. And here too you find many, those who say we had more progress before, now we have got less. What's the reason for that?
And the natural law comes in with the negative power and takes away when you do
it. Yes. You follow my point?
Yes, I understand, yes.
This is to be followed by everybody, you see. When you are given a doubt, well, you go to the highest. Let people say. Then it's all right. You have got a little water with you, for instance. You begin to sprinkle. Be in contact with the perennial source. Then thousands, millions will come. Then you become conscious worker that is not you doing, but God is doing. These are the little things I think stand in every man's way. Those who have got little experience, for instance, sometimes see master within. They are too little to talk. Sometimes that negative power appears. They are misguided. Some things come true, the others become wrong. Result is, in the other soul, he is Sanjasaya. And the man who says, he also feels I have no better. I get letters sometimes by such like people. Now the master within me will guide me. When I tell them already, master within you, if you guide it, you write to me, get it confirmed by writing by me. The result is, those who follow them, they are just retarding yourself. I don't see why people are, after becoming a master, they may have got that ideal before them, but they have not come master. When they become master, let them say they are master. Even then they won't say. Those who are masters, they don't say we are masters. This is God's power working. It's the Father in me doing. He never said I am doing. Son of man is differentiated from the God in man. and others who have just little, they have heard, and there this is one of the causes of the groups. Some follow this man, some follow that man. Result is they split. There's no problem.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of Master's talk called Mind is a Thief in the Form of a Friend, given on January 23, 1964, in Washington, D.C. Our leader this evening is Pradeep Sethi.
Good evening. We continue to read from The Light of Kripal, Question and Answer Sessions, Chapter 50, Keep a Vigilant Watch. Question: sometimes we repress. It's like sometimes a man exerts to get rid of his shortcomings, but that doesn't really rid him of his failures. It doesn't make him clean. Master, why exert? What for? There's no question of exerting. At least you came to know the shortcomings you have. Then try to weed them out. Keeping a constant, vigilant watch over all your thoughts is what is wanted. If you fail 5 times today, try not to fail more than 2 times tomorrow. Weed out one by one. That's only accomplished by watching. Moreover, you are not to think in the negative way, I am a sinner, I have done such and such. That won't do. You must try to reduce. I am a sinner. Well, let me be sinner no more. What did Christ say to the lady who committed adultery? He asked the people what the punishment for the crime was in their law. They said that she should be stoned to death. All right, if there's anyone who has not committed that act, go throw a stone on her. Who would dare? No one. Then he said to her, all right, do no more. This is what is wanted. Always brooding, I'm a sinner, won't do. You are not a sinner, you have committed sin. You have besmeared yourself with filth. Wash it away. You are gold ore that comes from the mines. You are pure gold. If you clean it, the filth, away. So, I told you, God plus desires is man. Man minus desires is God. If you watch yourself in that way for some time, you will have it, and habit will turn into nature. You won't dare to tell lies or anything like that. Question: you say we should be aware of our thoughts. If in meditation some thoughts come up, Master, why does something come up? Because your attention is slackened. Devotee: yes. If in meditation something comes up and we become aware of it, won't this slacken our attention more? Master: why does something come up? Because your attention is slackened. I think these thoughts won't occur to you if your attention is not slackened. Our subconscious reservoir of mind is overflowing in all these thoughts. Do one thing, wholly and solely. That is why I say in the meditation instructions, be fully engaged, constantly, without a break, look minutely to follow what is there. For that period, no other thought will enter in. It is only when you see wide, thoughts will come in. At the same time, I told you not to talk or think negatively, always positively. You are a soul. You are a child of God. You are micro-gods. You are of the same essence as that of God, only besmeared. Wash it away. What you have done today, don't do it tomorrow. A vigilant watch is required. Keeping the diaries means only that. Understand once and for all. And that also won't do sufficiently unless you then live it. You say poison is poison, and will kill me, you'll create trouble in your stomach and all your veins. Poison, I am eating poison. Well, stop taking any more poison. Whatever past poison taken can be washed away. Do no more. Our master used to say, always when someone came to him, Master, I have committed this sin. Will you forgive me? Is there anyone here who can take this burden of sin? Who? Nobody. Then do no more. Do no further. Do bhajan. So, no more, please. That's all I can say. Next chapter, the story of a camel. Devotee, I think I am very much convinced that the best approach to life is to put all efforts towards becoming a receptive to the master and Naam. Naam inside and the master physically outside. But so many impressions, you might say, stumble around in my mind and they control me still. The impressions still tug so much, even though I'm convinced intellectually that this is what I want. Master, there was one Majnu who was very fond of Layla, a princess. Once he left his home to meet her riding on a female camel. That female camel had a child left behind. Majnu rode the camel, absorbed in the thought of Layla, and the reins were relaxed. The camel returned home because she was attached to a child. Was she not? Again he started. They say it took him 6 months to reach Layla. Why? This is a reply to your question. Devotee, he relaxed the reins. Master, naturally, effort becomes nature. Even though we know this theory intellectually, we are still identified with the body and are dragged like anything. As a matter of inference, we know we are not the body. But when you daily rise above your body at your will, then you will come to know that you are not your body. But at present, you may take 6 months or 6 years to reach the goal. Do you follow? That is nature. When you do anything, repeating it daily for, say, a few months, for example, to go to some place daily after 5-6 months, if you are going the other way, you will feel drawn to the accustomed place and your legs will automatically move in the direction they have been accustomed to move. This is due to habit. Devotee, so we gradually outlive these so many impressions through meditation and living. Do we just expend them? Master, yes. What is that by knowing which nothing more is left to be known? By tasting which nothing more remains to be tasted? By knowing that happiness, no other happiness will vie for with it? That is within you. How important it is to meditate. It takes 5-6 hours in the school, then homework for 2-3 hours, 8 hours a day working for 1 year gives you one step, one path. How much time do you put in now? Fortunately, you are here, so you are putting in 4-5 hours. But even that is not the actual time you are putting in. Your physical body is sitting, of course, but the time only counts in which attention was not relaxed, was not slackened, continuously dwelling on one subject. So, forget the past births, if there were any or not. Ever since we were born, we have been attached to the body. We have been working at the physical level. We have never thought that we were not the body. Even now, although we have come to the conclusion that we are not the body, all the same, we are working at the level of the body. Only remember the story of camel, you see. Master chuckles. Habit has turned into nature, you see. We are to unravel it. All right. Good night to all of you. Next chapter. Recollections from Master's Military Life. February 13, 1971. Morning Darshan at Dehradun. Devotee, I am in the army and sometimes I am given orders. They tell me to do something which is not... Master, who? devotee, my superiors in the army, they give me orders to do something that is not quite honest. What should I do in that case? Master, for instance, devotee, mostly I have been bookkeeping and the books say for the last 2 years have been done incorrectly. And they tell me to go and fix them. And the way they tell me to fix them is not legal. Master, military orders are very strict. You must obey or you will be court-martialed. Devotee, right. Master, there is no civil law there. Are you in charge of those books? Devotee, yes, I am in charge of them now. What I do, I can do legally. But what was done in the past is all wrong, and they want that corrected. Master, how can you do that? Devotee, you can't legally. Master, then how can they force you to do that? To what is not done right, put a note there. This has been done under orders. Military rules are very strict, are they not? You are working in an office? Devotee, yes. Under an adjutant, and the adjutant is generally in charge of the office? Devotee, yes. We have lots of offices, and this office just comes under one particular person. Master, well, you are an enlisted man. What can you do? That's a pity. I was once attached as an accounts officer to the military service unit. The regiment was ordered to proceed to a field of action. Orders were issued. Tomorrow morning, at such and such time, start. That place to where we had to move was about 30 miles distance. I said to the adjutant in charge of the conveyance sector, the quartermaster, I am a civilian attached to the military. This is only an attached position. I am given a corresponding rank for convenience sake. Will you please arrange for my conveyance to the lines? They were petrified of me, I tell you. Why? Because I am very honest. I ordered all they wanted. All right, you may have rations from here, but I am getting my rations and milk from outside stores. Master arranged for his own supplies, paying for them himself. The day before we had to move, I asked the quartermaster whether he had arranged for my conveyance. He said, did you ask the commanding officer? I went to him. As you know, we are civilians attached to the military, at your orders, so whatever rank we are given is given only for convenience's sake. Because we are not accustomed to this hardship of military life, please arrange for conveyance. But he also said, no, I will go on foot. He was the colonel in charge. I will go on foot. All others will go on foot. Why can't you go on foot? Well, I told him, if you want to inquire from my office in Delhi about this, you can phone and ask them. I'm not asking any favor from you. No. All will go on foot. This was the commanding officer. I order. Well, dear friend, I replied, if you can't arrange for my conveyance, I will have to do so myself. All were shocked. Oh, my lord, he's replying to the colonel like that. What will happen to him now? The military are very strict. They were probably thinking that I would be court-martialed, but later the colonel came around to my quarters where I was taking food. He knocked and said, I have arranged for your conveyance. All right, thank you, I said. I had that assignment for about 9 months. For 3 months of that time, we were at the firing line. There was one military line. All were ordered not to transcend because beyond it was enemy. During the day, I would leave the border and cross it and go there for my meditation. That was about in 1921. I was reported. A military man is crossing the border without permission and the enemy doesn't harm him. I meditated for 3 months like that at the firing line, bombs falling, cannons booming, machine guns going just like wheat being roasted in sand, popping everywhere, I was unharmed. There were sometimes old men who brought their families and saw me. Very strange man. He is an accounts officer, they would whisper. Once it so happened there was a man who was reading the scriptures in the quarters, a very harmless thing. But the man in charge over there said, "Well, look here, you cannot read the scriptures in here." That man came up to me quietly. "Should I report him?" "No, no. There may be something said in the military law about this." So military law is very strict, you see. When anybody orders fire, fire. You are not to question the order. What can you do? It is the job of the officer to give the orders. If he says fire, you have to fire. Why are you afraid of death? If death has to come, it has to come. Why are you afraid of it? In the regiment, there was a dacoit, very dreadful, I tell you. He liked me and sometimes followed me as my bodyguard. He said he was afraid of me. I told him, "Everybody's afraid of you, and you say you're afraid of me?" He said, "When I look at you, I start trembling. My past sins come to life." I asked him, "Why? What happened?" He asked, "I have tormented so many people. I killed them. How many I killed, the exact number, I don't remember. Is there any hope for me?" "Yes, there is hope for everybody. There is hope for even the worst sinner. Repent, pray, do no more." So you see, in my time, military life was generally a very hard life. There was so much hard training going on. Now it is not as hard a life. You have a more easy time. There was so much training going on there. What you have to do in a month now, we had to do in a week of training then. Many became sick from overwork. Very hard life, but I have love for them. "Who is going tomorrow?" "You?" The military man. "What time?" "Devotee, right after darshan. I have to go back to Delhi. I leave Monday morning." Master addressing his wife. You are also going? Go jolly. Where are you stationed?" Devotee, "Korea." "And she is also in military?" Master Jekyll's, "Korea? No war there? The trouble is over now?" Devotee, "No war. The trouble is over now." Master, "One minister from Korea came here. He was initiated. Is she going back also?" Devotee, "Yes, she's coming back with me. She's been in Korea with me the whole time." Master, "You've got your accommodations arranged?" Devotee, "Yes, they are very good. I live off base." Master, "What is your rank?" Devotee, "Sergeant." Master, "And she?" All chuckles. In India, there is a custom when there is a teacher or advocate or doctor, the wife is also called doctor, etc. A custom in India. "How long a trip?" "4 hours. Devotee, "A little more, like 7, but we came by way of the Philippines and Bangkok. I have 3 more months there, and then I'll probably go back to the States." Master, "Always attend satsang. That's the main thing. You please." Devotee, "Question about length of time to spend on light versus sound practice." Master, "There are 2 practices. One for sight, the other for audition. Both are to be developed. When hearing is strong, sound will drag you. But if you don't see where you are going, sound will drag you. But if you don't have light, you won't know where you are going. There is no hard and fast rule. Wherever you are lacking, put in more time. Both are important. Are the depths paid for people who are dying but have faith in God? If by regular practice you become adept in that, there is no pain in leaving the body. To those who know how to withdraw, there is no pain. Master comes to help." Devotee, "You should have faith in Master even if you have shortcomings when you die." Master, "If you have faith in the Master and you have no attachments in the world, then many things are clarified, paid off in life. The Master sees that many karmas of the initiates are paid off. If there is no attachment left, for worldly affairs, and he has so much love for the Master, nothing is dragging him to worldly affairs, then he has not to return. If he has so much love and faith in Master, love beautifies. Love and all other things are perfumed. Master pays off all debts of the past of his disciples, such like who have not paid off, whose karmas cannot be washed out, come back, but not below man body. If there is so much overwhelming love for the Master, all attachments are cut off. You have to work for that. Why not do your work here? What you can do here in months, there you have to do in years. Better you do here. Faith and love. Faith like a child's faith in his mother, like a child running from a lion into the arms of his mother. The child has full faith that the mother won't let him be harmed. So much love that all attachments are forgotten. Do you follow what I say? Devotee, is it true that your spiritual progress is not dependent on your inner experience? Some people go a long time without inner experience, but have inner experiences right along. Master, if one who has more experience has worked more than the others, perhaps the child has more love for the mother. When the child is creeping, sometimes he is screaming, and sometimes the mother takes him in her lap. Man does not become learned after leaving the body. Those who have more experience may have background. Next chapter, receptivity. Let your instrument be free of dust. February 14, 1971. Question. Master, if the sound is heard from the side without putting the thumbs into the ears, should we still put the thumbs into the ears? Master, the sound which is heard without plugging the ears is a gift to simply keep your attention engaged, the hearing of which would not allow any foreign effects to enter therein. But unless you close your ears and sit for hearing, that sound won't come from the above and drag you into the beyond. That's the difference. Both have their own value. The first is to keep your attention. Some power is over your head. If you turn your attention to that sound, you will do all your work and not be affected by outward influences. It will act as a sheet anchor against negative effects. You will be air-conditioned. Do you follow? That will be the effect of the sound which is heard without closing the ears. This will come in due course. Even if you are working, that will go on within. That is a sort of protection extended. That is God power. But unless you withdraw here by sitting, that sound won't be able to drag you into the beyond. That is the difference. Devotee, but sometimes if we hear the sound, it is much stronger without putting the thumbs into the ears. Master, this comes because of the charging from the atmosphere where the Master lives. You cannot underrate this charging. You get it free without any effort, without any payment whatsoever. The physical presence of the Master at the soul level cannot be underrated. You can have that charging even at a distance if you have developed receptivity. If you have developed receptivity, it will be just as if you are here, where those who have developed receptivity, the atmosphere will be charged with the sweet remembrance of the Master. There, where more than one man sits, he is there, and you can enjoy at a distance. If you have developed receptivity, you will become the mouthpiece of the Master. You will be talking, and the charging will be there, because in the atmosphere the words are then and there. Thought in the atmosphere will give you a boost. Now, you see, in the case of your television, from hundreds and thousands of miles, you will have sound. Sound is there already, is it not? you simply catch it. If you catch it, you will have that very boost by receptivity. It is all there. You simply need an instrument to receive it from here, there, everywhere. Do you not? If one wave of thought is there that exists in the atmosphere, you can catch it. But if you do not have that developed instrument, it is difficult. So you can catch this like a radio instrument in your area. That thought wave exists there. You simply operate the instrument and receive. So how wonderful it is to develop receptivity. You become one with the master, you see. The same question may be put to the master and the same question put to one who is receptive, they will answer in the same words. Do you follow the theory in the right perspective? You have to develop receptivity. And receptivity develops when nothing remains between you and the master. No other thought. If there is some dirt in your instrument, do you think that it will receive the message? All the same, even with difficulty there, the message is still going on. It is there. Master says, sit down, and you are entuned. Sometimes because of reactions of the past, some people do hear the sound and they don't know what to do further. They think they have disease with their ears and have them treated medically. There are messages at different levels. The more you are entuned strongly, let me explain that way, the more finer things you can receive. Master speaks messages from the Most High. God speaks through him, but he is conscious of that lower level too. So he will also explain to others from their level. Do you think these things are given in books? No, I'm only telling you from the common sense point of view. You can develop receptivity, have the same thought which occurs to the master occur to you. I think I explained to you by parables, examples given to you to bring home these things. There are some portrait painters who came to another country and asked the ruler in charge for permission to paint a mural. One wall of the hall was given to them to do their work. The people from the same country came up to the king and requested permission to also paint a mural. So they put up a curtain along the big hall so that they would not see each other's work. Those foreign painters were working hard painting. The other side was doing nothing. When the painting was ready, the curtain was drawn, and to the great astonishment of the ruler, the same painting that the foreigners had painted was on the other wall, even clearer, without blemishes. What have we done? We have done nothing. We have simply been rubbing the wall so that it may reflect. So if you develop receptivity, Master speaks through you. But when nothing remains between you and him, that is being receptive. Just as an instrument which remains free from all dust, quite clean, will catch. This is spirituality. To influence others, invading others, reading others' mind is no spirituality. Developing receptivity is a first step. Go on doing, live, transcend the three planes. This is not accomplished in one day. Regularity pays. Go on doing so that you become receptive, so that there remains nothing, no secret, no reservations between you and the master. When you have love for somebody, do you have any reservations left? I will stop here for today, and we were reading from Master's Light of Kirpal question and answer session. We started with chapter 50 titled Keep a Vigilant Watch, and then moved on to the next chapter titled The Story of a Camel, and then we moved on to the chapter titled Recollections from Master's Military Life, and finally we were midway through Receptivity, Let Your Instrument Be Free of Dust. Thank you, Master, and thank you everybody for your patient listening.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading for us. There were 56 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, first principle of devotion and bhakti is what? To know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally we will follow right thoughts. With right thoughts, you will be right speech. And with right speech, you will have right actions.